This is an opinion-based show. These opinions are our own and are not the opinions held by Disney or any other important corporation involved with Star Wars and their cadre of expensive lawyers. This show is for fun. Please don't sue us. Saya and Mal's Hot Takes. Star Wars Visions. All right, so, Saya, we are back here with the long-awaited part two of our hot takes for Star Wars Visions.
I'm so excited. I finished it, and not only did I finish it, I went and watched episode 9 about 10 more times.
Oh, did you turn the subtitles on?
No, I still watch it in English.
God, what is wrong with you?
I never went backwards. I probably should have. I probably will at some point, but I have a kind of gotten obsession about the final episode of Visions.
You know, I went back and I watched Tatooine Rhapsody.
In English.
I went back and I watched it in English and then I watched it again with the subtitles on. Because truly, as I went through these, it actually struck me that that was probably the most, aside from the episode, is it episode 5 with the lightsabers?
Yes, the Ninth Jedi.
Aside from the Ninth Jedi, it was truly a very unique story.
I mean, we don't have any rock star, pop star, slave, Tatooine people in any other stories that I know of. Maybe somewhere in like the old books, I don't know.
It's kind of cool. And the problem with the song in Japanese sounds like a band. It sounds like a guy in a band, he's playing, he's singing with a band. And in English, God's love you, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, but it sounds like him singing to a karaoke track, and it's just not great.
So I'm not going crazy that I don't like it. This is not my fault.
Because it doesn't sound good. There's something wrong with the mix. It sounds like he's singing along to a pre-recorded track rather than like a band. It sounds like it doesn't belong.
So, okay, people, if you haven't watched Visions yet, as long as you're able to read at a decent pace, I would definitely go pick up that Japanese version with the subtitles at the bottom. But as I mentioned, I watched the rest in English, and a lot of them I liked just fine as well. So don't stress about it if you can't do it with the subtitles. But we have watched the final three.
All right. Let's do it, Saya.
All right.
Kick us off.
Episode 7. Is called The Elder, and for those of you who have watched it, that's the one where there is a young Jedi Padawan and his master have a calling somewhere in the distance, and they follow it, and they discover, I'm not quite sure if he's considered a Sith, but someone who wants to kill them is the trailer that I'm going to give.
I mean, he seemed like a Sith. It's just hard to tell because so few of them live to super old age like that, you know, because they mostly fight and kill each other off.
It's a very interesting episode. I'm not even quite sure what the timeline for this one is, because they say something along the way that there's not any Sith anymore, like they've gone extinct or something along those lines.
Yeah, it was a pretty good episode. That's what I wrote. I was like, yeah, pretty good. It was pretty standard. Oh, I'm a wise master. Oh, my Padawan, who's like, I want more responsibilities, and then goes off and does something fucking stupid.
Yeah, it was pretty classic, now that you say it. I liked seeing more Jedi Padawan relationship. I feel like there's not really a ton of that in the classic movies. You don't really get to see that aspect. You get to see a lot of it in some of the side media, and here's one more example of that.
I'll tell you what's very telling. Whenever you see a Sith, they're always using Force lightning, but you don't see Jedis using little rocks and big rocks, do you?
No, we don't see. Okay. Talk to Yoda. He'd been throwing some big rocks. That's about all I can think of, though.
No puffs of air coming out of the Jedi, but a lot of lightning. So what's cooler there?
Yes. The Sith have the most fashionable abilities, we're aware. Except for this guy. He's an old cruddy guy. And in this specific case, the Jedi really won the day. So don't forget, we're going to be going spoilery. So if you haven't watched it and you want to watch it yourself, please don't be an idiot and keep listening to this podcast. The Jedi does the whole turn off the lightsaber, move it, and reignite it, and stab. That's amazing. I thought that was a great move.
I thought it was fine.
You're like, I don't even care. There was no flying umbrella, so whatever.
I mean, it was just a kind of standard. Oh, here's the stories, you know, these guys.
It does follow a very kind of predictable pattern there. So that, we don't have a lot to say about that one. Do you want to move on to number 8, Lop and Ocho? I feel like anyone who doesn't have a lot to say about this one is really weird, because this is a really jam-packed, like, lore and family and story episode with lots of relationships and stuff like that, too.
What are those bunny people?
I don't understand why the bunny people.
What is that?
When I first saw that there was bunny people in Star Wars Visions, I almost like rage quit. I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I don't want to watch furry Star Wars. I apologize. I'm sure some people like that and are excited about it, but it was not in my wheelhouse. But the actual episode was great. I still don't know why bunny people, but I assume just because anime trope, I'm not sure. But the actual episode was great. I don't know if you saw, but the bunny people are all specifically enslaved or working for the Empire, and it wasn't really the humans that were doing that.
Maybe that's why we've never heard of them until just now, the bunny people of Star Wars.
100% screwed over like a billion other species in the universe.
Yeah, the story was good. This one, I thought it was too long.
It was very long.
I thought it dragged in the middle a little bit. I think some parts could have been edited out.
This one's 21 minutes long, so it actually is quite a bit longer than it's the longest one, it looks like. Yeah, like for example, the one with the singing, the Tatooine Rhapsody, is only 14 minutes long. This one's almost double.
Yeah, this one could have benefited, I think, from some editing on the cutting room floor. Could have lost about four minutes at least off this one, and it would have been just fine.
I love all the lore building and the world building and stuff like that. So the more of that for me is better. Like I'd watch like a 2-hour movie of just showing off this planet and its dynamics. What did you think about the aspect of the main character being adopted into a family and her relationship to the dad and then separately to the sister?
I think it was a really great story in that regard, that she's adopted into this family and it was clear by the end that he truly considered her to be his daughter. And the other chick was all about the sisterhood until...
I don't understand
until the bunny
happened.
Girl got the lightsaber.
I think there was something that got lost in the editing room floor. So they were cutting it out because they were like, gosh darn, this one's already 21 minutes long. It's not allowed. I feel like all of a sudden, at the end, the sister was like, family? What is family? Like, what happened? They didn't at all explain where that rift started happening or what happened that caused her to not like them anymore.
Well, it was family until she had all the power.
I guess. Like, what? She didn't have any power, really.
No, but she hopped in the Imperial pockets.
That's true. Right deep in those pockets with the blood eyeliner. What'd you think about that?
What I was the like, fuck was that?
I was like, excuse me, you're becoming like an Imperial agent. You're not becoming a freaking Sith. You're not becoming Dark Jaysa. Relax.
I guess the people in the sound effects did their job great, because when she bit her thumb, I was like, whoa. That is enough of that. Thank you.
I really, really liked like the introduction of the world, of the whole, this world is economically not stable. Let's ally with the Empire, because this is a story that is very much at the heart of Star Wars, The Old Republic. The resource war is something huge. Like it's a major focus of multiple of our expansion stories. And it doesn't really get addressed that much in the Star Wars movies. It's kind of like on the fringes of things. Like it explains everything, but you're on the Death Star. You're following Luke around on Tatooine. You're not seeing these oppressed worlds. And I thought it was really nice to see that in a little more detail than we've seen elsewhere.
Yeah. I think I'd like it more if I could have gotten over the bunny people.
The bunny people.
You know what, though? Here's something funny about this story that is a theme in a lot of these other ones. In a lot of these stories, these people are going, oh, no one has seen a lightsaber in 10,000 years. And yet every episode, everyone's got a fucking lightsaber.
Knows how
to fight. There's a lightsaber in just about every episode. I haven't been seen for 1,000 years until right now.
They're all in different time zones. We just went over the elder the elders, the Sith, that haven't been seen in a long time. And this one, I couldn't tell if lightsabers were rare or if he was just not supposed to have one specifically. Sounded like they were rare. And then my husband was saying, how'd she know how to fight with one to any capacity?
Who knows? I think she was showing proclivity for being agile. Like, they show her jumping off all
of... she's a bunny girl?
Yeah, she's a bunny girl, so she can take a 50-story drop off this building.
My husband was like, why does she have an umbrella? And I was like, duh, so she can open it and use it like a parachute. Are you stupid? This is how things work in the anime world.
She's just like Aladdin. She bounces off, you know, those little things over the store, this tents over the storefront. Poof. Oh, totally
visually,
fine.
Visually, that was really cool for sure.
All right, so what's up next?
Our final one is Akakiri. I'm not sure if that's, I'm not sure what the title means or if it's one of the character names or something like that or if it's something else. But this one, a Jedi returns to his forbidden love to help defend her kingdom from a Sith-like shogun. Which I felt really stupid because I watched the episode and then later read the description. And I didn't even realize he loved her or had a crush on her or anything like that. I thought he was just doing his Jedi-ly duty.
Yeah.
Hello, princess. What are you doing out here? So cold outside. Let me warm you up, as Jedi do.
Terrible. Jedi are terrible. They're like, no fun, no drinking, no talking, no smoking, no sex. And then 500 years later, they're like, why are all the Jedi dying out?
Okay, excuse me, but this is literally a story about how caring about someone too much clouds your judgment and fucks you over as a Jedi. That's literally what this story is. Okay?
Listen, did you see that Sith? Holy shit.
I don't know what's going on with the design of that Sith. It reminded me a lot of, I think it's Howl's Moving Castle, a Studio Ghibli anime movie. And she is just the ugliest thing that exists ever, like specifically drawn that way. I don't know what was going on with this Sith that they decided to give her like green eyeballs around her and like yellow hair. I don't know. But in the story, he goes to save his long lost love, but has had visions of killing someone. Who could it be? It's a masked figure. And the end, the Sith forces him to kill her. Did you understand what was going on there with all the visions and stuff? I didn't quite click what was going on till like my third watch.
I wasn't sure at first. I thought maybe at first he was a Jedi with PTSD.
Having flashbacks. Ah, yeah.
To me, I feel like maybe that would have been a more interesting story than he was seeing flashbacks of the future. Boy, the animation style, whew, I could not get over that.
Like, good or bad?
Oh, not good. Ooh.
You didn't like it?
No.
Oh, I really liked it. I liked this one.
It was not my cup of tea.
So at the end, he accidentally kills his love, and the Sith says something along the lines of, like, is she really dead? If you join me, we can save your precious Misa. And he succumbs. He says, I'll join you as your apprentice if you save her.
Yep.
He doesn't get to go on the bang bus either. He has to leave with the Sith right away.
Oh!
He doesn't even get to like be in love with her or anything.
Yeah. That would have been great though if he'd be like, yeah, I'll go with you. Save her. Oh, just kidding. Stabby, oh, stabby. Right? Dun, 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 dun. Oh, that's a different movie.
That would have been more in line with Star Wars we know, actually. I really like this actual, like, fall to the dark side idea, because we don't see that. Like, we saw Anakin's fall, and he was just a little baby. Like, wah! I killed my wife! Wah! I gotta go dark side! Wah! But this one was a lot more subtle, an adult falling to the dark side with more complicated reasons and stuff like that without all the temper tantruming.
And I was going to say at the end, she's clearly alive to see what happened.
Yeah. She's like, what did you do? And he says, I did what had to be done. And it's crazy. Something my husband pointed out when we were watching it was that, congratulations, she is now trapped on a Sith-controlled world. Like, she is not in any way safe. She's alive? But her planet is still under Sith rule now. She's surrounded by guards. He's gone and can no longer help her. The two people who had been aiding her this whole time, as far as I can tell, were dead on the floor. Like, he did not really save her or anything like that. Like, she's not dead, but she's not happy, that's for sure.
Excuse me, could someone please call me an Uber? I have somewhere to be.
Except she doesn't.
No. Yeah, no, it's... I gotta be honest with you, I do like when the story at the end is kind of a downer, like when it when it leaves you on just a really harsh note. So as a whole, I do think it was a very good story.
The music was I think the biggest thing that I've been obsessing about. It's very different. I didn't like it at first. The first watch I was like all the drum solos all day, every day. But the music at the very final scene when he's deciding whether he should apprentice or if he should just, I don't know, kill himself. I don't know what the other options were at that point. Fight and die, I guess. That music is really, really great. Like, it really sticks. It really says Star Wars to me and really emotional response to that choice now.
I read a couple reviews about this one, and some people really were bothered by the music.
It was very different. That is for sure. Like I said, I did not like it the first time I watched it.
I thought it fit the episode. It never even occurred to me to have a problem with the music, I guess, when I was watching it. I thought it fit really well.
So the two themes that I think are explored in this episode is one is succumbing to the dark side. Instead of being there's no motion, there's peace, there's actually like a little segment where the master of this dude is like, look, you go, you're going to be tempted. I can't help you when you go. Like, it's very clearly a big part of the episode. And the other part seems to be about destiny. What is predestined? What can be avoided? Do you have any say in your future? This guy seems to be fighting it every step of the way, but everything that he encounters says that, no, you can't change your destiny in any way. What did you think about that? I don't know if that's something that's necessarily a part of Star Wars existing lore, other than the Force works in mysterious ways.
Really? It comes up a lot in the original trilogy. When Luke wants to go back to rescue Han and Leia, and they're like, no, no, if you go back, all this bad stuff is going to happen.
But does the bad stuff happen?
Yeah, well, I mean, he loses his hand.
They do lose.
Well, at the time when the Empire Strikes Back ends, yeah, he's lost his hand. He's really been beaten by Darth Vader, and he's really only escaped by luck. He's hanging on that weather vane, and he thinks to call to, you know, Leia. But, you know, it's kind of an L for them at the end of that one. You got no hand. Han Solo is in carbonite with Jabba the Hutt. It's not a good situation.
It's great. But I mean, we know now everything winds up all right. But I guess in this episode, this Akakiri episode, we don't, there's no redemption. Like, there's not going to be a sequel. And we kind of assume that this is just his future now. He is a Sith. She is a captive. The world, their world at least, is doomed. And there's no catch up mechanic for that one.
Bum, bum, bum.
So yeah, that was something uncommon in Star Wars that I really liked as well. So overall, Star Wars Visions. Now that we've watched all the way through and a couple episodes multiple times, what type of person would you recommend to watch this?
If you're a Star Wars fan, give it a try. I had my best friend, Noren, he's a big Star Wars fan. He came over one night. We watched the whole thing. I gave it a second watch with him. And he was like, yeah, I'm interested enough to keep watching these. It was interesting. It's something different. Something new, something different.
I actually did the same thing. When I was visiting my friend in San Francisco, I raid with her. I made her watch a couple of my favorites.
Aww.
So this seems to be a common one to share, probably because it's short.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to just sit down and watch real quick.
I would like to know a little more about people's reactions who are not familiar with anime style, because I know there's kind of a general kind of disdain or dislike of the anime Japanese style for people who didn't watch it as a kid or never really got into it. So I'm curious if it's too strongly that animation style for people who don't like it, that they can't access the stories and enjoy them.
I don't know. I'm not sure how much sample size we will get, as this is a Star Wars podcast.
Right. Bunch of nerds. God.
Normies, are you out there? It's me, Mal. And my friend, Saya, we want to know, what do you think about Star Wars Visions?
I don't know. You'll have to Twitter us or something. Like I said, I'm very curious what you guys thought about this, and especially from those who have played the Old Republic. So what's coming up for media? We've got the Book of Boba Fett coming up, right? And I know there's been like a million different shows announced. Like, I think Ahsoka just finally got the official green light, and we've got a poster for it. But like, I don't even, Obi-Wan Kenobi, I think we're still getting somewhere along the line. So many of them are far out, though.
He's so good. Ewan McGregor.
I'm looking forward to that one. Listen,
because I study acting, right? Look at him in those prequels and how he moves and how he stands. And look at Alec Guinness from A New Hope. He has clearly done his research. It's really, he is the best part of the prequels for sure. He is just so good.
All I know is that whenever I think of Ewan McGregor, I can only think of Moulin Rouge. And they're somehow intensely intertwined in my mind. He is both Obi-Wan Kenobi and also Come What May.
Use the Force, Saya.
So we'll probably be talking about Boba Fett whenever that does come out. And see what else comes out in the Star Wars media. There's a lot. So much.
See ya.
Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for joining us for Star Wars Visions Talk.
You have been listening to Saya and Mal's Hot Takes.